Book of Obadiah. Look for the smallest book in the Old Testament. Obadiah means servant of the Lord. At least 12 people in the Bible, 12 different people in the Bible had this name. If you can find Jonah and turn back one page, you've got Obadiah. 21 verses. All right, so I've given you a handout on this, and so we're looking at some overarching themes relative to Obadiah, as he was the prophet to preach against Edom. So, Edom. Edom is a name of a nation and the descendants of Esau. All right, so we looked at some interesting passages with regard to Esau, Edom. Esau, Edom. For instance, if you look there in Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we find in an unusual verse here, so I'm going to ask some questions here, so we've been over this several times. So, look here, Hebrews 12, 17. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So repentance. So he sought repentance. So I'm going to ask Pastor Darrell. Pastor Darrell. All right, Pastor Darrell. So you're one of our ordained men, so... But what's this mean that he couldn't find any place of repentance? So what repentance means change of mind. So what did he want changed? Okay, but we're looking here in Hebrews 12 and it has to do with birthright. All right. So... So he found no place for repentance, so he sought with tears. But he's talking about the birthright. He sold his birthright. Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to take off. Right. Okay, well, here's the answer. The answer is he wanted his father, Isaac, to change his mind about the birthright. All right, you got that? So I'll ask you next week on that. All right. Well, we'll try somebody else. We'll try another pastor. How's this? So. And, yeah, what? And then the laity. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So in Romans chapter 9, Ryan. So here, Romans chapter 9. So here, Romans 9:11 talks about election. Purpose of God according to election might stand, all right? And then we're talking about election. Then we're talking about how the Lord loved Jacob, but he hated Esau. So here's a great Calvinistic verse that we just cannot get around. So how are you going to deal with this? How are you going to deal with this? See, love... We're talking about election. God loved Jacob and he hated Esau. So how are you going to respond to that? Because Dr. Calvin is here. He's going to challenge you on this. All right. All right. Okay. So he cites two passages. The one there, 9:12, is your passage in Genesis. But then he cites another one in Malachi, chapter 1. So this looks like it just focuses on his predetermination here. Okay. So really, he goes from Genesis down here to Malachi. So the first and last book in our English translation. So you mean the election wasn't towards Esau of condemnation, eternal condemnation? Is that what he's saying? So when did the hate come? Before or after his conception? Oh, okay. So, Brother Gagnon, would you agree with that?
I agree
100%. You want to expand on any?
Go back to that election question that I think you asked Darrell. I'd like to expand on that a little bit.
Okay.
He wanted the Lord to repent of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord did not.
Mm-hmm.
But the election was sure.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as what Ryan was just saying, his brother, that moment, that the bitterness began for his whole seed line,
right?
Which, of course, we know from the teaching was eliminated completely.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. So, anybody else have any questions they want to ask somebody else? Right. That Esau would change his mind. See?
Right.
Yeah, right. Change his heart, his mind, yeah. Right. Okay, yeah. That's good. All right. So the Lord decided of the twins, one would be a superior over the family than the other. So he decided one way. That's all he decided. He didn't choose anything else other than who's going to serve the other, elder or younger, who's going to serve. That's all he said there. So the hatred didn't come before birth, it came after birth. So we get these things down. You follow that? But the Calvinists love this. And of course, the Calvinists, they don't even look in the Old Testament, even though this is the realm of their Reformed Church foundation and so on. They don't look at the right passages in the Old Testament. So, anyway, all right. So, what happens when you hate the will of God that's been given to you? What happens when you hate the will of God? What do you call that? Starts with a B. What? Bitterness. Yeah, bitterness. Okay, bitterness. Yeah. Bitterness comes when you hate the will of God that's been given to you. You follow that? So who you are, where you are, when were you born, who's your family, what's your situation in life, or how do you look, what are you, where's your strengths, where's your weaknesses? You get upset with the Lord in the way he has so designed you. And this really comes in the book of Job as well. But when you get bitter about what's been dealt with you, dealt to you by the Lord, you get bitter about that, that's destructive. And in the case of the Edomites, the Lord brought an end to them. So you see that bitterness way back there in Genesis 25 and 27 and so on. One man, bitterness, it impacted his whole the lineage of descendants, where the Lord finally had to wipe out the whole Edomite lineage. So it's far-reaching. So we get bitterness in our life, and it can be far-reaching and impact other people. So that's the book of Obadiah. Now we haven't moved past verse 1, I don't think. But anyway, Jeff makes the point here, small book. So many theological truths here, and really a small book, 21 verses, as you follow all this out, completely repudiates Calvinism, doesn't it? A tiny little book. See how easy it is? Boom. Calvinism's gone. You know, this predestination and so on. You want to talk about predestination? Everybody's predestined to heaven. You know that? Because everybody's the book of life. The issue is not, will God give it to me? The issue is, can I hang on to it by meeting the conditions? See, so the book of life as a theological system is in harmony with this, but the book of life teaching that we've talked about here resolves the Calvinistic issue right at once. But Calvinism, Reformed theology, this is so popular because it appeals to the intellect. You got this and you got this. So it's easy. But see, the Lord's mind and the Lord's plan is far greater than our rationale. It's rational to say, we have this and we have this. Some people go to heaven, some people go to hell. So we throw all this back on God. God is the one who is totally responsible for those who go to heaven. He's totally responsible for those who go to hell. And man is just kind of floating around in without any opportunity at all. If you're one of God's elect according to their position, you've got it made. But how would you know? See, how would you know? See, those that are in Reformed theology, they don't want to talk about born again or the born-again experience. Has there been a time in your life you cried out to the Lord in repentance? And the Lord's changed your life. If you haven't had a born-again experience, how are you going to know that you're elect? Well, my parents were. Or I'm in a system and I go to a church that helps me that know that. There are so-called Presbyterian or Reformed parents. I've heard them say this before. I don't know if my children are elect or not. Well, quite frankly, you only know if you are, if you're in that system. So how are you going to know? Well, I hope they act I hope they act as Christians. I hope they behave good. See, that gets into a work salvation. So I have never had a born-again experience, but my parents were Calvinists. I'm in a Calvinist church, a Reformed church, so I think I probably am elect, but I'm not sure. So I probably ought to start acting like a Christian. That's a work salvation without experience. Follow that? For them claiming to be such a logical, rational system, it is so illogical and irrational as a system. But you run into these people around here. You follow that? So fatalism is not the message of the scripture at all. The Lord holds every created being completely responsible and accountable for their religious, or let's put this, their spiritual relationship with God. So it's a problem with the Islamic religion. It's fatalistic. Fatalistic. Just like Calvinism. So Calvinists and Islamic Muslims without Christ will go to the same hell. All right? Follow that? So this is Obadiah. All right, Obadiah. Well, anyway, so we have these major themes. So we have, as mentioned here, we go from first book of the Bible, Genesis, all the way down to Malachi, the last writing prophet here. All the way down here, we have the perspective on all this. We have Matthew chapter 1. Remember, Jacob was in the lineage. So what if Jacob and all of his descendants were slaughtered by the Edomites? Well, Lord Jesus came through Jacob. There'd be no Messiah. Follow that? And the Hebrews 12, you got the fornication of him as in his bitterness. So see where bitterness leads. Bitterness. And so you want to find something enjoyable contrary to the Lord's will. So when I get bitter, bitter people will end up in fornication and other evil things. You think about that. So we've got to watch ourselves. That's what Colossians 3:19, we read that last week. Husbands, be not bitter towards your wife. Your wives, the wife. Don't be not bitter towards your wife. So what happens when these marriages fall apart? Bitterness comes in. And so I'm going to find another partner. And this is contrary to will of God. So anyway, and then one final thing in Obadiah. So we looked here in Obadiah 1:1, and then we've also looked there in verse 18. So here's a statement here in verse 18, Obadiah 1:18. Last clause, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. So the house of Esau. The lineage of Esau is going to be destroyed. All right, now let's get back here to 1:1. So here Obadiah has a vision. The Lord's given him this vision. Thus saith the Lord, God concerning Edom, we have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. So here, several things. First of all, who's the we? Well, apparently this would be the prophets. We would be the prophets. This would include Obadiah and the other prophets. The other prophets such as Jeremiah and Isaiah. So Isaiah warned about the Assyrians coming in the first half of the book, 1 through 39. And then he warned about the Babylonians coming in chapters 40 through 46. Now, the Babylonians weren't even an issue when Isaiah wrote, but the Assyrians were. And Jeremiah warned, and Ezekiel warned about the coming judgment of not only Assyria in Isaiah, but also Babylon in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the coming judgment. So the Edomites, along with Jews and other nations, the Edomites got hammered by the Assyrians. And then later on, they got hammered by the Babylonians. And if there were any remaining of the Edomite lineage, they were all destroyed in AD 70, if there are any. But that's doubtful. Now, as I mentioned, there, Herod claimed to be an Edomite. But anyway, the Lord has dealt with them. So, the verse here says, we have heard a rumor from the Lord. All right, the rumor. So Obadiah gets a vision, and then there's a rumor from the Lord that he's going to deal with Edom. And an ambassador is sent unto among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. All right, so here is a rumor goes about, presumably among the prophets, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. So this ambassador might have been the Assyrians or Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, at some point in time. So if you recall, the book right before Obadiah is Amos, right? And if you recall there in Amos chapter 1, here was a message to Edom, as well as seven other nations, a total of eight nations. This is Amos chapter 1, how the Lord was going to deal with these eight nations, including Judah and Israel, by the Assyrians. So you look there in 1:11, this is Amos 1:11. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire unto Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. So it's the capital of these major cities there, and so on. So notice in the language there, we went through this once, but notice in the language there, the Amos is perpetuating this rumor. Amos is the one who's perpetuating the rumor. And notice here, in the expression, he pursued his brother, Esau, went after Jacob with the sword, did cast off all pity. So we'll see later in Obadiah, they laughed when Jerusalem was invaded. And his anger did tear perpetually. Here his anger teared perpetually. This is his bitterness, went on and on and on through the centuries. And he kept his wrath forever. All right, kept his wrath forever. So all the way down to the end of the Edomites, he was bitter, wrathful anger. Yes, sir? Yeah, sure, yeah. Well, yeah, what clearly in both cases, both Esau and Jacob, number one, they were both scoundrels, to be sure. But secondly, they apparently made up, but then later on, Esau went back to his bitterness. So it's temporary. And so both of them, they didn't know how the other was going to treat each other. So, yeah, we don't know if they're going to, Esau or Jacob, they're going to fight us, kill us off, kill off our families, and so on. So we better hug. Hug and make up. But that didn't last long. Didn't last long. So, yeah. So, you know, there's the issues of life. And so it's like the Christian life. There are some days that we're right before the Lord, things going good, this, that, and everything else, and then a bad day comes along, what in the world, and we get upset, out of the will of God, lose spirit filling, you know, maybe even get bitter. Then we have to come back, I got to get things right. So that's the ups and downs of the believer's life. So, all right, so anyway, but secondly, we notice there was someone sent forth here in our passage. So the rumor that the judgment was coming would come through these prophets. But an ambassador looks like he's sent among the heathen, and he's giving the call, "Arise ye, and let us rise against her in battle." And so the idea is we're going to fight. Well, who are the ones who are going after Edom? Were the Assyrians and the Babylonians. Assyrians and the Babylonians. So we have one passage there, in Amos 1:11. We also have the Babylonians going after them. Let's look in several places. In first of all, in Isaiah chapter 34. So in the first section of Isaiah, remember 1 through 39 is dealing with the Assyrian enemy, Northern Kingdom. Chapters 40 through 66 is dealing with the Babylonians. So the book of Isaiah is divided into two sections, 1 through 39 and 40 through 66. First half, primarily the coming of the Assyrians. The second half, the coming of the Babylonians. When Isaiah wrote, the Babylonians weren't even an issue. But they did come along later on. So anyway, let's see, where were we? So we're in Isaiah chapter 34. And verse 5, let's pick it up in 34:1. "Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that's therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon the nations." So here's Isaiah giving the rumor out. Judgment is coming to nations. Then we see in verse 5, "For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia and upon the people of my curse to judgment." So Edomia is another spelling for Edom. So here's a message. The rumor's gone out. Isaiah's preaching the message that the Assyrians are coming. The Assyrians are those who are going to create war with Edomia or Edom. All right, then later on, we look here in Ezekiel. And let's see, Ezekiel 35:15. But now Ezekiel is living at a later time, and he's dealing with, along with Jeremiah and Daniel, these men were contemporaries. Ezekiel is dealing with the coming Babylonian slaughter. So he says here in Ezekiel 35:15, "As thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Edomia, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord." So now here's the warning from the Babylonians are coming. All right, so this gives us an idea. Obadiah is writing this, talking about the judgment upon Edom. So we have heard a rumor. We, the prophets, have heard a rumor. The Lord is going to deal with Edom. So Isaiah predicted that. Jeremiah predicted that. Ezekiel predicted that. And an ambassador is sent among the heathen. So the ambassador seems to be either the Assyrian leaders or the Babylonian leaders, who are saying, okay, Edom, rise up. We're going to come after you, and we're going to have fun. We're going to destroy you. All right. So the Lord goes on to say, "Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised." So here, the Lord's judgment on Edom. And why was he judging them? Well, he says, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that bringeth in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground, though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, hence I will bring thee down, saith the Lord." So here, this has to do with their pride. Nobody can touch us. We're in these cave-like structures here over there, realm of Petra and Seir, and we have our homes and our temple and so on and so forth carved in the rocks, and we're up high on these cliffs and so on. Nobody can touch us. We're proud. And so here we see rejection of the Lord's will led to bitterness and pride. And later on, in the case of Esau, fornication. So think of all this wickedness that comes along from the heart. The proud heart. We're proud. Nobody can touch us. And yet in the pride, he rejected the Lord's will that he'd have to serve the younger. His pride got him. And so the Lord, no matter how high our pride is and how safe we are in our pride and our man-made security, the Lord is stronger, isn't he? Stronger. And so their nest was, they were up high like an eagle. So it'd be hard to catch an eagle, right, flying around. And they're up high and then they have their high nest up in trees. It would be hard to catch an eagle. But let's see, who made the eagle? Oh, the Lord did. Can he deal with the eagle? Yeah. And so they can be high as an eagle, but he still can deal with them. And verse 5, if thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Notice here, he's talking about one thing, using an analogy, and all of a sudden he jumps in and says, oh, by the way, you're going to be cut off. Okay, now let me get back to my line. would they not have stolen till they had had enough? So here he's using this analogy. Thieves come in, they go after certain things, they take it and they get out. Thieves break into your house. They don't want to take all the furniture out of your house. They're not interested in all that stuff. Whether it's really nice or beat up, they're not interested in any of that. They're getting out of there. But no, when the enemy's coming, they're going to exterminate everything and eliminate everything. And that's what happened eventually. Assyrians, Babylonians, A.D. 70, by that time A.D. 70 came around, there was nothing left of the Edomites. Very thorough. And the grape gatherers came into thee, would they not leave some grapes? All right. So verse 6, how are the things of Esau searched out? And how are his hidden things sought up? So when the enemy comes, they're going to take everything, even the things that are hidden. They're going to find everything. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. So what he's saying here at this point is all of your alliances. Edom, remember all your alliances you had with other nations? They betrayed you. They betrayed you. They've deceived you. And that's the way with the nations. Nations in their confederations. I'm interested in you only how you can benefit me. If you can't benefit me any longer, then I'm done with you. By the way, that's what we just found out about Damascus and Syria in the news today. Russia's done with Syria. They let them go. It's the news today. Anyway. That's the way it works with nations. That's what the way it was worked back then. verse 8, shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise man out of Edom, and understanding out of Mount of Esau? All right, so they're going to go after the wise man. And verse 9, and thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the Mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. All right, so notice here, talking about the wise men of Teman. If you look there in Job chapter 4, Job chapter 4, here's a wise man. Where is he from? Job chapter 4, verse 1. Then Eliphaz the what? Temanite answered and said, he's a wise man. Teman or Teman had wise men. Now this is long before the account. Long before the account. But wise men came from Teman, right? Here's a wise man who came from Teman. Now he's going after the wise men of Teman. And they're going to find out they're not so wise against the Lord. So in verse 8, shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? So Edom was known as the place for wise men. All right, so now we pick up in the outline. So I'll give them the outline here. So the rumor about Edom's judgment. Takes us through verse 9, 3 through 9. So from the Lord to the nations against Edom, 3 through 9. All right. Now, the reasons for Edom's judgment, 10 through 14. So we begin to look at the reasons that are given here. So recall now, 2 Kings chapter 8 and 2 Chronicles 21. Here's where Jerusalem is attacked by the Philistines. And also here's where the Edomites got involved in this. And so we have, this is early on, way back there in the reign of Jehoram, about 850 B.C. So way back then, when the Philistines and others came in, attacked Jerusalem, King Jehoram, and then came in the Edomites as well. So the Edomites were chanting on, as it were, encouraging on the enemy to come into Jerusalem and destroy their own brethren, the Jews, in Jerusalem. So that's the account we have there in 2 Kings 8. At Chronicles 21. But here we see four ways that they sinned at that time. Verse 10. Obadiah 1:10. For thy violence against thy brother, Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. All right, so the violence. They did violence towards Jacob. All right, Esau and Jacob. Thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. So here's a hint already, they're going to be cut off. They're going to be eliminated. No more Edomites today. You can search the world around, where's the descendant of Edom? Where is he? Can't find him. They're cut off. All right, and verse 11. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that strangers carried away captive by forces, and foreigners entered into the gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou was as one of them. So they watched. The enemy comes into Jerusalem, and they take captives out, and they cast lot on the presumably the captives. So, I want this captive as a slave. Or maybe they went after leaders. I want this leader as a slave. I want his family as slaves to me. So they cast lots. So here we have all these captives here. And Mr. Assyrian or Mr. Ethiopian this time. And who would you like of all these slaves? Well, I want the strongest there, the best looking, the ones that can really benefit me. So I've got to cast lots to see if I can get this one. Casting lots for captives. Can you imagine that? And so we have them doing that. In verse, so they watched on. They watched all this going on. That's their sin number one there in verse 10 and 11. Verse 12. And thou shouldest not have looked on that day at thy brother in that day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. So here, as Jerusalem was being hammered by the Ethiopians and Philistines and so on, they were rejoicing. They're laughing at them, rejoicing. We're glad you're getting destroyed, captive. They're casting lots for you and so on. We're glad about that. Let's rejoice. And so here's the judgment that the Lord talks about. Once again, they spoke proudly. See, the pride of Edom was there. All right, then one third sin. We'll stop with the third one in verse 13. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people, that's in Jerusalem, in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. So they went in and they robbed Jerusalem along with the enemy, everybody else. So we see how despicable they were. They stood on the other side and they watched. Then they began to rejoice. And then they entered in and robbed their own brother in Jerusalem, their own relatives in Jerusalem. So we see how wicked they were when they could have helped, and they didn't. So this brought on the hatred of the Lord, culminating in his hatred for Esau. Started with him wanting to kill his brother, and ended here with this judgment, and then the Lord's going to decimate the Edomites, and he did that in human history. So we'll stop at this point. Our Father, we thank you for the time to study this, study life of and the message of Obadiah. I pray that you'll help us to examine ourselves about anger, pride, bitterness, and that we may be focused on the will of God and be able to rejoice in doing what's right, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.